Hello and welcome to Freudian Quips, a WPRK 91.5 FM radio show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events.
Yay!
Hey, I'm your host, Dr. Samuel Sanabria.
And I'm Dr. Derek Palladino.
And today we are going to conclude our series on relationships, the dark side of relationships, by talking about dysfunctional relationships and what are the signs of a dysfunctional relationship, why do people stay in them, and how to get out of a dysfunctional relationship.
And we're going to put the fun back in dysfunctional.
And yes, that is going to be your job to do, because you're the fun one here.
Oh, no.
Yes.
We can't put, let me say this right away.
Go ahead.
No fun in dysfunctional.
No, there is no fun. You see, you're just making light of things. Again, that's just your MO. But anyways, we're going to learn about this stuff. So, but before we do, of course, we are checking in with each other, see how our week was. How's it going?
Well, yesterday, which will be maybe a week before you listen to this episode, was our first day of school.
Yes.
Yeah. So I had my first class yesterday. This semester, I'm teaching Introduction to Group Counseling. I'm teaching Psychopathology Diagnosis and Treatment.
Wow.
And I'm teaching Clinical Internship.
That sounds glamorous. Very glamorous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm started as well. I'm really excited about the semester. Excited about a whole new group of students in class. I'll tell you right now. Teaching multicultural counseling and social justice issues. I'm teaching psychopathology. The second section.
We're going to be head to head on who's doing it better.
That's right. Yep. And there's no competition in that. Yes.
Yeah, so, there is.
Okay. And clinical. The clinical supervision class as well. So there's two classes that we are teaching side by side and one we're doing separately. But anyways, I'm really excited about this semester.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yes. So anyways, before we get into our topic, okay, I have to tell you that, when I learned that we were going to do dysfunctional relationships, I got a little bit excited and I went online to search what's out there, what news reports are out there, and I typed in dysfunctional relationships, and the first thing that I came across was the top dysfunctional celebrity couples.
Well, of course you did.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so I was looking through them and I was just wowed by how many relationships out there that I don't really pay much attention to that are just crazy.
Did Taylor Swift come under
No. She's swift enough to know when she's in a dysfunctional relationship. Did you like that?
Yeah, I loved it.
And to get rid of it and quickly write about it and, sing a song.
So what you're saying is that she tailors her relationships to something that's more functional than dysfunctional.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yes. She doesn't want any bad blood between any of her relationships. Okay. So I guess we can keep going and going with this. You're better at it than I am with these puns. But so anyways, I went online, I looked at this, and there was like a whole bunch of, these couples, these celebrity couples that were on the list for being dysfunctional. And I want to go ahead and talk about three of them.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. But also, I just want, before I talk about these three, I just want you to know that I just learned this morning, because remember how upset I was when I found out that Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog broke up?
Oh, I heard the same thing.
Yes. Did you?
That you found out this morning. Yes.
I did. And it's...
He is together now with a younger pig.
Yes. Wait a minute. But... He's denying it, though. He's denying that there is a relationship. I saw the pictures, too. It's all over the media. And she's a hot number. I have to say, she's pretty cute. But he insists that they're just friends right now. So
she's piggy cute. Instead of pretty cute?
She's piggy cute. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, she is. So I'm a little bit heartbroken by that, disappointed, because I really am hoping that they would get back together again.
Mm-hmm.
But these celebrities are not going to get back together again, okay? Let me just tell you. First one that, or one of the ones that I came up with was Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you familiar with who they are?
I've heard them, yeah. You, Top Gun.
Top
Gun,
yes.
Right, and she was in Some Kind of Wonderful?
No, no.
Pretty in Pink?
No. She was in...
Footloose?
No, she was in Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I never seen it.
I'm just kidding. She was in Dawson's Creek. Yeah. You're so gullible. You're easy going.
I don't know some shows, so I'm always going to believe anything you say.
Well, not that I've ever seen Dawson's Creek, but right. I learned that she was on that show, and that's what she's best known for, mm-hmm. is being one of the actors on that show. But you know, they got married, right?
Yeah.
So they got married a few years ago, and you know that he's a big part of Scientology.
He jumped on a couch right before he married her.
That's right. And yes, remember that. And it was very unusual, right? And Oprah didn't know what to do with that. And mm-hmm. He went out to like hug her, and she just grabbed his hand to keep him. Like, okay, stay away from me. Remember that? Did you see that? She's like,
good luck with all that.
But yeah, he was so excited about the relationship. It was like he was a little boy. It was like he was a little boy, so excited about a new relationship. And they've been together for many years, mm-hmm. but you know, he is a big name in Scientology.
He is.
Okay. Are you familiar with Scientology?
I am.
Okay.
They have a church in Tampa.
Yeah.
Or like a building-ish type thing. Yeah. We ate pizza outside of it one day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, there's quite a few celebrities who are members of Scientology, and he's one of them. He's like their spokesperson, apparently, because he's, you know, but I mean, you know, and you know, a lot of people, I'm not really familiar with the Church of Scientology. I'm not a member. I've never been a member of it. I've never studied it. But, you know, from my understanding, it has a bit, and for what people say, it has a bit of a cultish following.
There is some rigor involved in being a member, I imagine.
Well, and a lot of secrets, a lot of dedication, and it is very rigorous, because if you don't follow Scientology, if you, mm-hmm. want, for whatever reason, want to leave it, you're, seriously, there's a process where you're excommunicated, and you're even denied contact with other family members that may, or no, actually the family members who are in Scientology are denied contact with you. So you're really just completely removed.
You're alone and islanded.
And that's not really good. So, you know, for, you know, anyways, what's on the news and what's dysfunctional is just his hyper involvement in Church of Scientology. And this mm-hmm. has been a concern for Katie Holmes, and they had a child, Suri, and she was concerned about that. And, you know, so there was just a lot of pressure. And then a big concern that she had was that he was going to, allegedly, that he was going to abduct Suri.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm telling, well, that's why I'm telling and sharing this with you right now. Yeah, absolutely. So she filed for divorce. She's been pretty hush-hush about it.
Yeah.
But since then, he has come out and admitted that, yes, she was concerned that he was going to abduct Suri mm-hmm. into this Scientology cult, and that she was no longer going to have control or influence over her daughter.
Oh.
So that's the story out there. Okay.
So what makes that dysfunctional?
What do you think?
Well,
what are you seeing there?
What I'm seeing is two people
mm-hmm.
on completely different pages. And when you bring something like religion and spirituality into a relationship, and one firmly believes that this is the way to do things and the other one doesn't have mm-hmm. that following, you're going to butt heads. You're not going to connect on a lot of main and important and significant issues in your lives. And that's going to maybe cause some dysfunction. So if he's wanting her to be more a part of his life, and she's mm-hmm. like, no, I can't be that part of it. If I was Tom Cruise, I might feel like this person doesn't care for me as much.
Mm,
and they're both pulling in separate directions. It's not going to make for a very functional communications in the relationship.
Right, yeah. Well, apparently he was very taken, surprised by the divorce. He didn't see it coming. Okay. So this mm-hmm. is something apparently that she has been thinking about, kept secret, and was planning, you know, as mm-hmm. it seems like, as a way to escape this. Okay, because he was very blindsided.
You think she broke up with him at his house so she could leave?
What do you mean?
Well, we talked about in the breakups when I was saying how you go to someone's house to break up with them.
So that you can leave.
Yep.
Exactly. Oh, no, you know, we don't know. We won't know. But you know what I'm seeing here is power and control issue. Because if she is concerned about her daughter, and he abducting her. I don't even know what that means, to be honest. Like, what do you mean abduct? You know, but that there's power and control issues that are in, at play in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a really big sign of dysfunction. Enough where she secretly filed for divorce and got out of it as quickly as she could. Yeah. So that was a couple there. Here's a quote that from both parties. Okay, so Tom said that he felt betrayed by Katie and that she felt like he sucked the life out of her.
Sucked the life out of her.
Can you believe that? This is how she feels about the relationship. He just sucked the life out of me.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful statement.
It is a very powerful statement. So, okay. Anyway, so that's that. Let's go on to the next couple that was on this list that I do remember hearing a lot about. And that's Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
The late Whitney Houston. May she rest in peace. She was just awesome.
And her daughter, too.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, so they've been married for a long time and she has been very dedicated to him. She's always been a by your side type of, or by her man, or, you know, whatever that phrase is. And so she has always been there to support him and to be by his side and defend him from the media, even though he was known to be emotionally and physically abusive towards her.
And we know there was a lot of drug use.
There was a lot of drug use. But you know what I learned, because I was reading a little bit more. A lot of people and a lot of her family members say that he was the one that introduced her to drugs. And that is not true. Apparently, she was using drugs before she even met him. Now, the frequency and the severity of the drug use may have increased since she got together with him. But she was dabbling with drugs before she met him.
Yeah, but that's also during the time and in the 80s mostly, right?
Yes, yes.
That's when you got cocaine as a free gift for buying a CD or something like that.
I got a lot of free cocaine. Yeah. But you know, that's actually what these reports were saying, is that she, you know, in the 80s there was a lot of drug use in the music industry, and she was introduced to it way before she met Bobby Brown. But once she got into the relationship with him, he was a bit controlling as well. There was abuse in the relationship. He was using drugs. He was involved in a set of gang or people that were not the best influence. And a lot of her family members and a lot of fans believe that it was he who escalated that in her.
And when you have two people on drugs, it's changing individuals' personalities, and you're no longer with the person who you met. And within those personalities, bad things are going to start happening. There's going to be yelling. There's going to be power issues. There's going to be fights. There's going to be all types of passive aggressiveness and abuse that can come from being on a substance.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, and there's a lot at play here, so we can't just blame the relationship, but, you know, it's anybody who's on drugs.
Sure, on drugs.
Yeah. I mean, this is a...
It's like a combination of a lot of different things in the relationship.
Yeah, because one thing that stood out to me and what I read was that at the end of her life, she was so drugged influence that she neglected herself and her daughter, Bobby Brown. And she was so consumed by using drugs that she didn't want anybody from the outside in her life. She wouldn't even allow a nanny to come in and help her with Bobby Brown. I mean, with Christina Bobby Brown.
Sure.
I think that's her name. And so she just isolated herself in her use. And, you know, that just, and then Bobby Brown wasn't there to be a support for her and to help her through the process. And he probably was, he contributed a lot to this. So, anyways, and she died.
So I do want to bring up Teen Mom.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, I'm a big fan of Teen Mom, and Teen Mom 1, OG, was original, Teen Mom 2 and Teen Mom 3. It's my guilty pleasure, although I don't feel very guilty about watching it anyway. So there are, if you're a fan of the show or just want to see what a dysfunctional relationship may look like, go to some of these episodes. We have in the first season, Amber and Gary were a couple where there was physical violence. There was passive aggressiveness. There was belittlement. minimizing of feelings throughout the entire relationship. And you kind of saw it unfold, which I was surprised at. So if someone's videotaping me, that I'm going to be that blunt about how horrible of a person I am with each other. And there might both have been going through things that kind of brought this out in them. And then you also find, for those who watch it, people like Adam and Nathan, and you're just staring at me blankly. Yeah, you have no idea who these people are.
Who are you talking about?
This isn't for you. This is for them.
Okay, this is for the listeners. Because yeah, I have yet to see the show.
Yeah. So Adam and Nathan are very passive aggressive. And
are they a couple?
No, they were partners. One's a partner of Janelle.
Okay.
And the other one is an ex baby daddy.
Okay.
I guess we can say it
for
that
Janelle.
Way. No, for another teen mom.
Okay, why? Well,
and they're not teen moms anymore either. They're all grown up in a sense.
Okay.
If you watch these episodes, you will see that the belittlement and passive aggressiveness and how they try to stay together because of a baby and realize that we don't like each other.
Yes.
So it does not bring out any great feeling or good conversation or healthy ways of communicating between them, because they're being when you're being forced into this situation that you don't want to be in, you need to find some little bit of power for yourself in it. And the way they did it and the way they still do it is to have these horrible relationships.
Huh.
And we also see there's some teen moms who are now married for a second time and divorces are coming out. And they don't want to get divorced because I don't want to be divorced a second time. And I now have three kids and stuff. So it's the feeling that sometimes I feel forced to be in these types of relationships. And you'll see a lot of that in the show. So take a look at that. I think it's a great example.
And later we're going to talk about why people stay in relationships. And you've mentioned children. You've mentioned, you know, just feeling the pressure to be in the relationship. Absolutely. Those are some reasons why people stay in these dysfunctional relationships. Yep. Okay. Let me just share one more, because I have to share this, because if you knew me well, you would know that I'm not a big fan of Madonna.
Really?
I
thought you were a big fan of Madonna.
Oh, no. I am not a big fan of Madonna. And I know that I should give up my gay card right now, because so many gay men love and adore her. But I'm not a big fan. I don't think that she's a nice person. I don't think that she really is she is a supporter of gay rights. But I don't think that she sees gay people as equals to her.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several things that she's done in her life that indicate that for me. But she was on that list with her ex-husband, Guy Ritchie. Okay. So I never really followed her relationship. But, you know, just because we're talking about dysfunctional relationships and I'm not a big fan of hers, I went ahead and read this. And it's juicy. It's really juicy.
I have to tell you, be honest, I know nothing, absolutely nothing about Guy Ritchie or the relationship.
Yeah, neither did I until I started doing research for the show. But apparently they've been married for seven years. And from the very beginning, they had problems in the relationship. They are the poster children for dysfunction, because they had it all, okay? There was a lot of conflict in the relationship. And this is how she describes her relationship. She said, during the 7 years that she was in a relationship with him, she felt incarcerated.
Really?
Incarcerated.
That's another very powerful statement.
It is a powerful statement. Yeah. You know, here you had Katie saying that she felt like he sucked the life out of her. And this one is like, I felt incarcerated during the 7 years of the relationship. She felt like she wasn't allowed to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's alluding to him being a little bit on the controlling side. And you know what type of artist she is and what her contribution to popular culture is as far as sexuality and really pushing the envelope. Well, apparently he never felt comfortable with any of that and didn't like those performances. And so she felt like she needed to not do that, even though this was part of her artistic expression.
She altered her way of being for Guy Ritchie.
For Guy Ritchie. Now, she does admit as well that, there, you know, in any relationship, there's a little bit of give and take. But she felt like she went and gave too much in her relationship. She also, or what I've been reading is that sexually, they were not compatible. Mm-hmm. They were not, you know, she was more on the freaky side and he was more on the conservative side. So there was problems there. Also, apparently she had long workouts and she like half day workouts And she was always tired. So she was never really sexually interested. But this is talking about children. This is bad sign here.
Okay.
They adopted a child, David, from a country in Africa. He did not want a child. She wanted a child. And she insisted and went ahead and pushed for having this child.
So what I'm hearing
mm-hmm.
is that there is very little compromise in this relationship.
It didn't seem like there was.
If one of the partners wants something, that's going to happen. Regardless of all the push and pull mm-hmm. from it, it's going to happen.
Well, they seem like they're both type A personalities. They both have interests and they are going to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to stand in their way. Yeah. So anyways, I just thought that was interesting. So we're seeing a lot of signs here. And plus there was that whole, very similar to Kate and Tom, her involvement in the Kabbalah.
Yep.
He wasn't interested in that. And that was a big divide in their relationship mm-hmm. as well, because she really absorbed herself in that religion and really insisted at other people as well. And he was just not interested. So that was another problem. So anyways, these are things that I came across on the news today that was very interesting, and we can go ahead and transition into this issue of dysfunctional relationships.
Sure. So we heard a lot of examples of, you know, in popular culture of what is happening within this partnership that makes it feel dysfunctional. But we're not all famous, right? So we're not, our issues, Sam, aren't that I'm running off to do my show in Ireland and you're stuck here,
mm-hmm.
you know, mending fences or something
right,
like that.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it's so funny. I have to say this. I was just thinking, you know, when we started this radio show, you know, my biggest fear was that, oh my gosh, we're going to be so recognized and famous that we can't go anywhere in Orlando.
Oh, really?
Right. You know, and I just hope that people treat me like I'm normal. And you know what? I have to tell you that I have to give it to my friends and family and to the public because they treat me like I'm a nobody. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so thank you,
everyone. I don't think
we
recognize ourselves. We're not that famous.
I don't think so either.
So we want to talk a little bit about what are some signs that you're in a bad relationship? How do you know that you're starting to experience some of the things that that Sam's brought up in some of these other stories? So the first one is if you start feeling the need to change who you are to make your partner happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we saw that with Madonna and Guy Ritchie.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Where Guy did not want children. So he had to change himself into a person who was okay with having children.
What's a better example is that she changed herself and her artistic expression because he didn't feel comfortable with her overt sexual expressions mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is right there. So she admitted that to herself.
Yeah, so there's change without compromise is what we're seeing
absolutely.
In this first
right.
one.
Uh-huh. And you don't want, that's a sign right there that mm-hmm. things are not going well in the relationship.
Oh, totally. And the second one, you have to defend your significant other to family and friends. Have mm-hmm. you ever done that?
I have no, because again, I haven't been in many relationships, mm-hmm. And no, I haven't. Have you?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, there's been one relationship in particular I'm thinking about when I lived in Dallas, Texas.
Where it's always in Dallas.
It's always in Dallas, right?
I'm so glad you got out of Dallas.
Yeah. Well, Cheaters was in Dallas too, right?
Yes.
We're talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was someone I was with for about a year or so. And I didn't realize that I was unhappy and I didn't realize it was a dysfunctional relationship. And when friends would, you know, sort of ask me about how things are going, mm-hmm. I would lie and say things are great and things are wonderful and we're super happy and she's perfect for me and all that. So I felt like in a way I was defending.
But did they criticize her?
Not
did your friends criticize her and say, oh my gosh, like, you know, how could you put up with this? Or
not until after.
Oh.
Not until after. So it wasn't that serious where there was so much overt things that were happening that were bad that people were starting to notice.
Right. But you felt the need to lie to people.
Oh, totally.
Pretend that, oh, yeah, no, we're great. Mm-hmm. She's great. Yeah. No, not. I've never had that experience before.
Lucky you.
I know. Lucky me. The third one is nitpicking and criticism. You know, when it happens a lot, mm-hmm. where you feel like you are not being respected or viewed as an equal in the relationship.
And it's usually an undercutting type of thing that's so minute, but later on you think, oh, did they just say something horrible about me to me?
Yes.
So it's done very...
if they're joking around about their criticism. You know, it's so funny because I witnessed this with another couple, a friend of mine, and where they were fighting over appliances, and the husband in the relationship was making fun of his wife. You know, it's like, oh, she doesn't know this, she doesn't know that. And it was all joke, and jest, right? The way that he was pretty, oh, but I felt so uncomfortable being in the middle of this conversation.
What was the look on her face?
She was smiling. She did the, I guess, in her body language, defending her significant other. Because she was just smiling and went along with it. But, you know, to me, it felt like they were jabs and that there was an underlying tone of seriousness behind that. So
it's so uncomfortable when you watch that.
It is. It is terrible. But, you know, he was doing that and it just didn't seem respectful to her.
And so if you're feeling like there's jabs and they're not lighthearted and fun, they're not things that you two share together, because me and Amanda are quite sarcastic with each other, so there's no jabs there, but we'll make fun of each other in a loving way. But if it doesn't feel good to you and you feel like it's constantly happening and occurring in public with friends at home, wherever, then that's a sign that you might be in a bad relationship. Okay, so you're always wondering what your partner is up to when you're not around. This goes back to that jealousy episode that we talked about.
That's you. Red, you know what? Ring the bell, big red flags around me. I'm a very jealous person, but I'm working on it. I'm you know, working really hard on that. You know, luckily, I have not felt that way with Andrew. Okay, never. I don't think in the 16 years that we've been together have I ever wondered, where is he? You know, and what could have helped with this is that, you know, he's an introvert. He likes to stay home. He never likes to go out, and he doesn't have a lot of friends, so it helps.
So what you're telling me, if I could psychoanalyze you right now, Sam.
Can you?
Is that...
Please?
Is that you went out of your way, you worked so hard to find an individual who you believe is an introvert so you don't have to feel jealous.
Probably. Okay. Yes. Maybe it wasn't...
Outside of the fact that Andrew is an amazing person.
Well, he is an amazing person. I love him. He's fantastic. But it does work that he is an introvert and that he is perfectly happy staying at home, being by my side. So for 16 years, that has worked for me. Maybe on an unconscious level, I chose that in my relationship. I chose to stay with this person because there was a huge level of comfort in it. But it works. It works for the two of us. Yes, absolutely.
And I do want to say, if you have that feeling of wondering where your partner is, it could be based off of something else. That maybe there was a time or relationship in your life where you've been cheated on or something bad happened that sort of triggered this emotion back to then. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're currently in a bad relationship. It may just mean that you need to sort of work on that past part of yourself.
That's true.
Begin to trust a little bit more.
Right. And I think that this point is, because you're absolutely right. It could be something that's internal from your past that you need to work on if you're having concerns about, oh, where my partner is and so forth. Okay, that's one side. Another side is if you are in a relationship where your partner is out, not letting you know where he or she is very secretive about who they're talking to, who they're with, won't let you see their emails or their cell phone number. These are red flags as well. And if you're in that relationship, you're constantly thinking, well, why is this happening? That could be a red flag.
Sure.
So there is two sides to that story for sure.
So the next one, and I'm going to read this verbatim because it comes from a research article and I make sure that we're saying it correctly.
Yes.
Your sex life is poo-poo.
It's not. No, that's not what it's. It's seriously lacking.
Oh, I read that wrong. Okay.
Yes, you did. Okay. But I can see how you got that wrong, because seriously lacking and poo-poo do kind of read the same. Yeah. Right. So, yes, if your sex life is seriously lacking, and we saw that in the Madonna relationship, right, where she had interest that were not the same as Guy Ritchie, but she was also denying him sex because she was just tired all the time through her workouts. And so that really puts a strain on your relationship.
Yeah, so if there's no sex, if you're not feeling like you want to be intimate with your partner, or and that can mean sex, or that can mean touching or holding hands or anything like that. If you don't feel an emotional connection in the physical way,
yes,
then it's lacking.
Oh my gosh, Derek, you have to talk about your relationship. You shared it with me the other day.
Oh yeah.
About this. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
So I was dating this green frog.
No, not the green frog. Not that relationship.
Oh.
No, the one that you said that she was beautiful, but you didn't feel
a sexual
attraction.
Yeah, so I was in a relationship where initially there was physical chemistry and some emotional chemistry. But after a while, that emotional chemistry sort of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And this was a person who you would imagine the physical chemistry would never, ever end with. But I came to a point in the relationship where once I lost the emotional chemistry and there was very little conversation going on, I had zero interest in doing anything physical with this individual. And we could lay next to each other and she could want to make it, she could try to make advances. And I'd be like, no, I just want to go to sleep. And
that's terrible.
It wasn't because I didn't like her in a way, mm-hmm. but I felt so, what this relationship did to me was it put me in a state of dissatisfaction. It brought on a mild depression within it because I was no longer who I wanted to be because the person I was with they weren't doing it on purpose, but it made me become someone who I wasn't happy with.
Right, right.
And I just kind of fizzled out, and the thought of kind of being with that person, there was no energy there.
This is a testament to how mm-hmm. evolved you are as a man, because stereotypically you would think, oh, if there's a beautiful woman next to me who is ready to engage mm-hmm. sexually, I'm going to jump for it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for the typical, stereotypical male. But here you could not find yourself sexually attracted to her because the emotional part and the intellectual relationship mm-hmm, was lacking.
Yeah.
So you really are evolved.
Well, I wouldn't say that much about me. But
well, I am saying that about you.
What I will say is, like, if I'm lying there and I don't feel connected by our minds or our hearts, I'm not thinking of that as I'm lying there. I'm not thinking, oh, she's not stimulating my brain anymore. I just don't want to be with mm-hmm. her. It's whatever, since there is no connection there in the very, those important ways, I just lied there. And sort of mm-hmm. the mild depression took over.
But still that emotional and intellectual part of who she is was very important to you because it was, mm-hmm. whether it's consciously or unconsciously infused in the way that you saw her sexually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was unconsciously. And then later on, then I reflected. I'm like, oh, that's what was going on basically right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you recognized it later that this is
after the fact, I can kind of put the pieces together. But sometimes when you're in the moment, you just act the way your feelings act. And, you know, you're not having this metacognition type of dialogue in your brain of, well, I'm not doing this because of this, or I'm not feeling this because of this. But after, and that's what keeps us in bad relationships a little bit longer than mm-hmm. we want to be in them. But after the fact, we can then sort of reflect and say, okay, this isn't why this relationship worked. I'm going to carry this information with me as I enter my next relationship.
So, wow. You're amazing. All right, let's move on because we have others.
Okay. You want more me time, but your partner wants more we time.
And what does that mean?
That means if you and I were in a relationship.
Wait, what's wrong with we time?
Well, I think what it's saying is people want different things.
Okay.
Yeah, so if we're in, say that you're back together with Brad Pitt. And Brad's like, you know, I do my best thinking and reflecting when I'm by myself, and I sort of gain my energy that way. And you're like, well, I gain my energy by being with you and sharing things all the time and taking trips. And he doesn't want that. That's going to, you know, you're wanting two very discrete types of relationships.
Yes. But see, if he loved me. Mm-hmm. Which he does because
he cheated on me to be with you. Well, or you cheated on me to be with him. I forget our relationship already.
Yeah, well, he does love me. I mean, he keeps sending me emails and letters. He's trying to get me back. But, you know, I just can't. I can't do that. But so wouldn't you want to compromise? Wouldn't you want to say, yeah, let's have some time. Let's have some we time and let's have some me time. Wouldn't they both want to compromise.
Yeah,
that.
If it's a healthy relationship.
Okay. Oh, so if there's not a compromise in mm-hmm. that, where the one person constantly wants, we, let's get together, let's do things, and the other person is constantly saying, no, I need yep. to be alone, I need to be alone, that's a red flag, basically, yes. to mm-hmm. the relationship, that there's something wrong with the mm-hmm. relationship. Okay, very good. All right. But I still would think that Brad Pitt would compromise with me and give me a lot of weed time.
We all, and I'm still working on getting over that right now.
Okay, actually. Well...
brings up some sore feelings there. Okay, so moving on, you feel personally responsible for your partner's happiness. And how I kind of think about this is, if you're in a relationship, and imagine you and your partner walking down the road, right? Think of like the, you know, the old Beatles picture where they're walking in front
yes,
of each other.
Yes.
Okay, so the first two Beatles, you are the person in front, they're behind you, and in front, you are maybe 5 minutes ahead, trying to make sure everything that they come in contact after you is going to be perfect.
Mm.
So it doesn't make them feel unsettled, dissatisfied, unhappy, mm-hmm. angry, frustrated, sad, anything like that. So you are overworking to make that person happy, thus
yeah.
ignoring yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like that person is walking on broken eggshells. Mm-hmm. It's very stressful in the relationship if you're constantly worried about the happiness of your spouse, your
That's
partner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Your partner controls who you see and what you do. I mean, this is just a no-brainer.
Right.
If you're in a relationship and your partner's saying, you cannot go out, you cannot have, if Amanda said to me, you cannot have friends that are girls, or if I told her you cannot have friends that are guys, and some of you may be relating to this as you're hearing this, that's a piece of jealousy, and it's a large part of control and power.
Mm. Okay. Very good. Okay. And then the last one is, your partner takes you for... granted.
Yep.
As wonderful as you are, your partner is saying, it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's, nobody wants to feel that.
You're suitable.
You're suitable. You're, yeah, yep. you're just okay. You know, I can do with or without you. And mm-hmm. that is a
with
horrible
or
feeling.
Without you.
Yeah, that's a horrible feeling. It's a horrible voice singing there.
So, hey, I'm going to sing a lot on our episode.
Okay.
So be prepared to
I hope so. I'm just, you know what? That was a criticism in the form of a jest.
And I'm staying in the relationship.
Because you love me. That's awesome.
We have to work through it. Okay. So we know what constitutes particularly a bad relationship.
Those are some of the signs.
Some
I mean,
of them,
we can't go on and on. I mean, we could go on and on, but we're not, because we don't have the time. But those are 10 signs right there that you're in a bad relationship.
And how many would you say that they need to have out of these 10?
You know what? I won't go that way, because I don't think it matters how many of these that you have in the checklist. Really, it's the severity of any of those
mm-hmm.
and how it impacts you and how it makes you feel in the relationship. And if you are depressed like you were mm-hmm. at that point in the relationship with this other person, then... that's not good for you mm-hmm. or the relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not the quantity, it's the quality of what
it's
they're
pushing towards.
It's the quality,
thank you
towards.
Very much. Absolutely.
Okay. So moving forward, mm-hmm. we talked about how do you know you're in a bad relationship? Now we want to talk about why people stay in bad. What keeps us in bad relationships? What is research talking about that makes us stay in there? So the first one is the devil you know.
The devil you know.
Yes.
Because for many people... they feel like, well, this person is bad. My partner is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who else is out there. That person yeah. could be worse mm-hmm. than my partner. So better the devil you know than the devil you don't yeah. know, right?
There is
terrible
comfort within knowing, even if it's horrible.
And it's
because you know what to expect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just basically settling in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Two, practicalities. Change is hard.
Yeah, change is hard for
it's
people.
So hard.
Yeah, and I've been in there. I've been there
mm-hmm.
in my relationship, my second relationship, where, you know, I felt like, oh, I need to be here because it's comfortable. I was in college, you know, I call me a gold digger, but I was very comfortable having my rent paid for while I go to school and being supported and so forth. It just seemed easier to put up with the relationship mm-hmm. than to break up and having to find a new life for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been there. I can understand that, but that's another reason.
I think in college I would have been like a $10 digger because I
I wasn't a gold digger. I was a $10 digger. Okay, so another reason is for the children. We've seen that. We've talked about that before. But yeah, it's like, well, you know, we have children. This will be devastating for the children. Let's stay together. But research shows that it actually causes more psychological emotional damage for children who are in families where the parents stay together that don't like each other.
Yeah, you have two unhappy parental figures, and that's going to, the children are going to see that totally.
Absolutely.
So who else would want me? There's nobody else out
low
there.
Low self-esteem.
Besides the person I'm with who would want me. I will feel lonely. I will be alone for the rest of my life.
Yes. Okay. And that, yeah, that goes with low self-esteem. And then the fear of being alone. Mm-hmm. Okay. These are all reasons why people stay in bad relationships.
Codependency. That's a big one, isn't
it? Yeah. There are people who just have that personality trait. They're just very codependent on others. They feel satisfaction in knowing that they're taking care of somebody and that, that they're needed, right?
Yep.
If they feel like they're on their own and that they're not needed, that person could function without them, then they feel insecure about themselves.
Mm-hmm. And finally, what we call cognitive dissonance. This is kind of, we're avoiding facing our fears and our decisions. You can almost imagine it as if I'm in a relationship with Sam and it's horrible and I just want to avoid facing my choice that I'm staying in it.
Right.
So I don't want to put myself down. I'm kind of a failure. I'm at fault here. Or if I don't want to feel that way, so I'm going to stay in because I don't want to say I did something wrong.
Right. And a lot of people don't want to recognize that the person that they love, for example, is not a good person. Let's say if they're in an abusive relationship, their partner is physically, emotionally abusive, but that person still loves that abusive person. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to face the reality that, yes, that person is not good to you. That person is abusing you.
How did I not see it?
Right. Really? Okay. So these are some of the reasons why people stay in bad relationships. Okay. Let's talk about how, now that you have the signs and you know why people stay in relationships, how do you get out of it?
Yeah. So tips on leaving this type of relationship. And as we talk about this, these are just some thoughts that we have and some things that we found. We want to make sure that you're not following everything to a T here. You're going to, if you're in a bad relationship, make sure you're figuring out what you need to do for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the first thing that you need to really analyze and ask yourself is whether in the relationship, you're just going through a bump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these, you know, and we can look at these signs and you can say, well, I'm experiencing that right now. But maybe it's just something that's going on in the relationship right now. And that if you go over the bump, everything will be okay and go back to the way it was before. Or if it's really a serious issue that you need to address. So first, you need to really think about what's going on in the relationship.
And you may want to talk to some friends that you feel like are unbiased about the situation to get a sense if they think it's a bump too.
Yeah. So that's where you hear us say this over and over again, but you need to make those connections. You need to find a support system, good group of friends who will be there for you during this difficult time.
Yep. And don't mistake addiction for love. It's a very different feeling. You may have the sense that I need to be in this and that there's nothing else I can do. I just need this all so much. And that's not love.
Right. Yeah. It requires a person who is sophisticated enough to be able to self-explore, self-analyze what their motivations are. Mm-hmm. Another one is to make a plan ahead of time. Think about what this breakup would look like and what it would mean for you and anybody else who is involved in the relationship. And start planning ahead for that. What are you going to do? Where are you going to live? Who are you going to go to? What about the children? If there is a divorce involved in this, how are we going to explain this to the children? How are we going to explain this to loved ones? So plan ahead.
Yeah, the more variables that are going to come in because of this breakup, the more you're going to have to spend time thinking about this. And you may know I can't be in this relationship anymore. There's too many variables that are going to keep me in it. and stay with that part that says, I should not be in this relationship. It's not healthy for me.
Yeah,
and just work through all those things. It's going to take time. It's going to feel exhausting, but it's so important for you to be in a place where you're happy with yourself.
Absolutely. You know, and once you've made that decision, own it, stick to it. Okay. There are going to be times where you're going to second guess yourself, or you're going to convince yourself that it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But no, stick to your decision.
So here's a tough one. We're derooting the relationship from the ground up and leaving no room for any ties. Mm. Defriending, defollowing.
Defriending what?
Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, defriending.
Yeah. All social
everything,
media.
Everything.
All
social media.
Mm-hmm.
If the relationship is really bad, if it's not an amicable breakup, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. You don't want to have that connection with them.
Block the number. Just erase everything you can. If this isn't something you want to have any ties to, don't have ties to it. You have the power in yourself and decision-making skills to be able to say, this is what I want for myself. And it's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes, and it can be very difficult. Sometimes you're going to have to make a decision, depending on how bad the relationship mm-hmm. was, whether you need to change your friends
right.
as well, because mm-hmm. you may have friends who were mutual friends that have really close connections and ties with this ex of yours. You may have to make that decision. And the last tip is to give yourself a break, forgive yourself, and grieve the loss. Allow yourself to grieve the loss.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Very good tips. And make sure, I mean, we're going to post some of these things on Facebook and Twitter so you can get a sense of the types of, so you have more information on what to do to get out, what to know if, you know, if you're in a bad relationship and all of those sorts of things.
Absolutely. Oh, my favorite part. Yes.
Roughly, we are beginning our doctor's note section again.
Yes.
And I'm looking into our file right now, Sam, and I found one question from someone called BDS Emmy.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Bring it on. Let's see. What does BDS Emmy, I'm assuming that it's a female.
Yes, it's a female.
Well, what does she have to say?
BDS Emmy says, how do you introduce weird sexual interest with a person you just started dating?
Wow. Okay. So first of all, you don't want to be like Madonna and Guy Ritchie. No, just kidding. That was a joke. Okay. So so the question is, again, how do you introduce weird sexual interest? I'm assuming that it's her, that she has weird sexual interest, that she wants to talk about it and see if they are sexually compatible. Mm-hmm.
So she's believing what her interest is weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's her perception. And she wants to invite her partner to be a part of that.
Somebody that she's just dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my first question is, what I would like to ask her and have her think about and process for herself is, why is she calling her sexual interests weird? Is this
a good question?
Is this self-judgment? Is she mm-hmm. thinking about what her interests are in a negative way? So she may not feel comfortable talking about it. I mean, how could you feel comfortable talking about your sexual interests if by chance you feel negatively about mm-hmm. it? You feel like there's something weird or wrong about it. I may be off mm-hmm. with that assumption.
She may feel just uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable with that. So first of all, I would explore why she chose that word, that it's weird sexual interest. And then think about when you would normally talk about sex. Hopefully you do talk about sex with a person that you're dating prior to the actual sexual activity.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to do.
Do you think most people do that?
Well, I think next week when we talk about hookup culture, we'll be able to dive into that a little bit more.
Yes.
But I think it's difficult. If your first meeting, first couple meetings is sex, then there's not a lot of room to talk about sex.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can see that happening, that you're getting caught up in the heat of the moment. You're really attracted to the person and you go right into mm-hmm. it, even after the first date, maybe not even have the first date. You just go right into that hookup.
Sure.
But if you're seriously interested in the person and you want to help flourish the relationship, hopefully you talk about your sexual interest prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, if you're dating somebody and you're having conversations with them, that there's a lot that you can get to know about that person through casual conversation. I mean, you can talk about movies, television, you know, favorite movies, television shows, you know, politics. You can tread carefully into the world of politics and religion, talk about family background, you know, where you grew up and how, what your parents were like and so forth, siblings and childhood stories. All of that can give you clues as to whether this person is an open person or not. So through casual conversation, you can start to develop a comfort level with them.
So what I'm hearing is the first thing you want to do is see if this person is open to talking about anything, and open is very sensitive to communication. They have great skills. They're good listeners, and they want to generally be a part of the conversation. So are they open?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's not just being open to talk about anything, but when they do talk about it, is it spoken in a more positive way, in a more open way? You know, if they're going to talk about, you know, for example, you know, certain people in the community and it's all negative, or, you know, they say, oh, they put down, for example, immigrants or gay people, you know, constantly doing that, or, you know, putting down unwed mothers, or, you know, people who are in a position, you know, with abortions, any of these, you know, trigger points. If they are open to talking about it, but it's in a negative way, that might be an indicator that, you know, this person may not be open
to my interest. I want them
exactly
to be
open in a way. So, you know, once you feel that out and you feel ready and comfortable and you feel like this is the person that you can talk to, then I would start off, because it's something that you're interested in and you are personally aware of, as BDS Emmy seems like she's aware of, is, you know, hey, be that person to ask the question and start with that person. Hey, tell me about what you like to do sexually.
I think that's it's a difficult question, but a wonderful question to ask. You don't want to send a YouTube link to his or her email
and say, what you think?
Yeah. Just thoughts, question mark, smiley face. And you don't want to try things out while having sex without talking to your partner ahead of time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be shocking. Going to be surprising, and people get put on the defense.
They can. They're just not emotionally ready for that. Whereas if you brought it up ahead of time, they might be ready. I mean, by talking about it, they might be open to it, and you have an opportunity to share more and explain more about what your interests are. They may come back and say, wow, I've never tried this before, but I'd be willing to, you know. And so you have that open communication. And I think that talking about sex before you have sex is great. It's a part of great foreplay.
Oh, yeah.
You really can get that person excited and turned on before you actually engage in the activity.
And you should, I mean, this is a side note, but you should always be talking to your partner about what you like, what you don't like. You don't want 2, 3, 4 people in there fumbling around, not knowing what's happening. Might as well get on the same page and really enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And again, you know, talking about it is very important. I'm not suggesting or recommending that that's the first thing you talk about in your relationship. Yeah. Again, feel the person out, ease into that discussion. But I am recommending that you do talk about it before you actually have sex.
It's not like, oh, so you have 2 brothers, by the way, are you into?
Yes, there you go. So that's my advice for you, BDSME.
Awesome. Well, as we conclude today, what are your takeaways, Sam?
Well, my takeaway from this whole discussion is really trust your feelings. If you're not feeling right about the relationship, there's something wrong. Don't try to convince yourself that it'll be all right or it's just in your head. Trust your gut, trust your feelings.
And what I'm taking away is just not being hard on yourself. And I'm going to say this too, and I want you to repeat this in your head if you feel like you're stuck in a relationship and you're angry at yourself for being stuck in that relationship. You're not a bad person. You just are in a bad place.
Oh,
okay.
I like that. Well, thank you, Derek, for that. And this brings us to the end of our show and our series on the dark side of relationships. And we're closing with dysfunctional relationships. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to miss this mini series.
I do like this. We're going to have to come up with another mini series. But I want to thank our listeners and join us next time, next week, when we discuss hookup culture.
It's going to be great. So thanks again for listening to Freudian Quips on WPRK 91.5 Rollins College Radio. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter and be a part of our doctor's notes, part like BDS Emmy and Shia LaBeouf. They're wonderful people. We can talk with you too. But until then, I'm Dr. Palladino.
And I'm Dr. Sanabria.
Be mentally healthy. In word to your Electra complex. It's a Ooh. Thing. Look it up. I promise you.
If I told you things I did before, told you how I used to be, would you go along with someone like me?
You're listening to
WPRK
91.5 FM.
The best.
The best.
The best in basement radio.
WPRK.
WPRK.
Yes, it's right.